I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. It's been a while since we've had the Mark Twain, call him what you will, of the Delaware Valley, Mr. Levittown, J.D. Mullane, Bucks County Courier-Times. Sorry, Christine Flowers, you're a great read every Friday and other times, but I don't know, but I differ with them on this one. J.D. writes today, and he's with us in a moment. Given all of our goodwill and public money spent on the opiate epidemic, shouldn't we expect the addicted to meet us halfway in kicking this scourge? And he cites the story of this Edward John O'Brien Jr. And he leads with the police report or some kind of report, 6 p.m. on New Year's Eve. He left the road, barreled through a fence and yard, and plowed through the sliding glass doors and into the, allegedly, living room of Jim and Mary Albright, who live off Gun Road. The Honda came to a stop in the Albright's living room, its engine still running, O'Brien unconscious, according to the police report. Lucky O'Brien, he got to sleep through the crash. Mrs. Albright escaped serious injury by chance. Moments before O'Brien crashed into the house, she had gotten up from the couch, which was in the car's path. Mr. Albright wasn't as fortunate. He was in his recliner when the sliding glass door frame struck his head. The gash required 16 staples to close. Things were made worse, this next part, for the Albrights, when amid the chaos, their dog ran from the damaged house and was struck and killed by a motorist who did not stop. O'Brien, police records show, was unresponsive. He had overdosed on heroin. 2 days doses of Narcan were required to bring him out of it. And he, according to police reports, J.D. writes, had shot up before he drove through this residential neighborhood. An horrific scene. Are we running out of patience with this? All right, let's bring in J.D. Mullane on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, J.D., welcome back. Good to have you.
Hey, Dom. Good to be back.
Haven't seen a column in a while. I was going to touch base and say, come on now, Christine Flowers will now be the greatest writer. I move up to number two, but yeah. I'm happy with the bronze. You have the gold, and she's always edging toward that gold. You got to watch her.
Yeah, she's pretty good, and I'm glad to be back.
Good. Well, good. So this O'Brien guy is a gruesome sight, and I know some people can be critical when you say, wow, and the dog was killed running, but that's where our hearts go in that situation. What's the theme here? What are you trying to say?
Well, I guess I had in mind also that this, you know, what Governor Wolf did last week, which was to declare the opioid crisis a state disaster. And the state already spends $20 million a year, or it spent $20 million in 2017 fighting the opioid crisis, and what have we gotten from it? We've got more deaths. And so I saw this case of, Edward O'Brien Jr., 23 years old, crashing through this elderly couple's living room on New Year's Eve. And I really don't know how the Albrights are ever going to rest easy in their house after that, honestly. You know, so he's wrecked them. I mean, they're the victims in this. And we tend to see opioid addicts as victims. It's a disease. But, you know, there are some diseases like cancer that we can't do anything about, we get. There are other diseases like sexually transmitted diseases that we acquire because we made stupid choices. And I think the opioid epidemic as a disease fits into that category. It's a stupid choice. And the fact is, Dom, last week in Bensalem, the police picked up a knapsack, backpack, with 10,000 doses of heroin.
Right, at a school, left. Wasn't it?
Right, at a school, at a middle school. So the appetite for heroin is not abating, mostly among younger people who are not stepping up to stigmatize, you know, this kind of drug use. And so I'm wondering how long it will be before the rest of us say, you know, $20 million in 2017, who knows, $30 million in 2018 or whatever the state decides, you know, $40 million the next year. When do we say to the addicts, listen, you got to meet us halfway on this. We understand it's a tough road you got, that, yeah. that these, you know, pharmaceuticals, these drugs, you know, rewire your brain or do something to your brain that makes it extremely tough to get off. But we expect you to do that, and we don't expect you to, you know, drive through our neighborhood stoned because you cannot control your vices.
All right. Now, J.D., I'm going to give you two comebacks around there. I agree with you in theory. I don't think it's a disease, and I think a lot of people listening don't see it as a disease. Now, I know the new stuff is, yeah, after you make the choice, though, it rewires your brain, and that gives me some pause. But the argument is this is different for a couple reasons. One of which is not a defense, it's just a fact that this is not, it's something that has hit Bucks County, even the McMansions that you write about out there, those places. And two, it's something where people didn't realize what they were getting into, and I guess by now maybe they should. In other words, a doctor prescribed
it. I disagree with that, Dom. I totally disagree.
You do? Tell me.
I totally disagree with that because my kids, maybe your kids, went through 8 years of DARE program.
Right.
You know, and there is no way that a kid of the millennial age, and that's the generation that's driving this appetite for this poison, there's no way a kid that age doesn't know it's wrong to raid pills out of grandma or mom and dad's medicine cabinet. They all know it. It's a drumbeat. They constantly mm-hmm. hear it. And yet this is a generation that will stigmatize anybody who in the least comes off as homophobic or sexist or racist. They'll bludgeon them to death. They'll cost them their job. They'll take their work from them. But when it comes to this heroin opioid crisis, that generation is very reticent to make any judgments on their peers as to the damage that they're doing. And the damage is pretty severe. Millennial generation now has a lifespan 2 years less than baby boomers precisely because of this opioid crisis, which they really don't have anything to say about.
So you're centering in on the millennials. I was saying overall, some of this is the medical profession. Some of it was Obamacare and a lot of factors, J.D.
Yeah.
We're too loose with this. They didn't have a sense of how powerful this is, how gripping it is, and you don't know until you get into it. Two, I agree with you about the DARE programs and the other stuff. Don't go into a medicine cabinet. But the danger of this, and almost in some cases being instantaneously addicted to something this powerful, that's a pretty big price to pay. That's why I think there's some sympathy there.
Well, yeah, there is sympathy. I can tell you, and I've told you before, a good friend of mine, we've known each other literally since we were babies. We were up four houses mm-hmm. from each other, 6 months apart. Her son from Doylestown. You know, died of an overdose, 24 years old. And the last thing he said to her on the phone was, Mom, I just can't shake this thing. He had been in and out of rehab. So our hearts do go out, you know. And I make that clear in the column. We gladly provide this stuff. This isn't, you know, these people who say, oh, he's, you know, this is a third time Narcan, three times and you're out. I don't believe that. I think you got to Narcan people as often as you have to save their lives. And then when they come back, I know they're in instant withdrawal and it's very tough. You know, then they can't wait to get out on the street. There are a lot of factors in that. But at some point, you got to man up and you got to say, I got to conquer this thing, you know. And that's not happening, and the numbers show it. And I think the politics is changing, Dom. I didn't mention this in the column, but what's interesting about Governor Wolf's declaration of the opioid crisis, the heroin crisis being a state disaster, is that what he proposed, he didn't propose any new money for it. Isn't that interesting? What he proposed
right.
was cutting red tape so that people can get the programs, which is a good thing. But a tax and spend liberal Democrat not proposing any money for a cause like this, interesting. I wonder if he sees the politics. I wonder if he sees the general public, you know, tiring of the
let me rebut that. That's a good insight. I wish you had written that because I'll ask it. And I don't think people are tired of it yet, although this guy, you know, if he's seen as the face of it, shooting up while driving, and to your point, you would think millennials of a guy like this doing that, crashing in, and then the dog part of it, which, you know, is not human life, but we both know how that rivets. And you're right. I only read about this guy because of you on this column. I didn't remember that. There wasn't a big social media stir about it.
No, because I think that telling your peers that you shouldn't smoke weed or do drugs is judgmental. And I think that that really is a taboo among a certain age group. And it's not a taboo with me. You know, I get paid to do it. But even if I didn't get paid to do it, I'd still say it. That, you know, you have to man up and conquer your vices. And I know that opioids and heroin is a tough vice to conquer, but you got to do it. I know many former alcoholics. They'll tell you they're not former alcoholics. They just fight it every day.
Mm-hmm.
That haven't taken a drink in 30 years. That's what you got to do. And if you got to get up and you got to fight the same battle every single day, like Groundhog Day, then that's what you got to do. Otherwise, people like Jim and Mary Albright suffer. And we don't want that. And how many times, Dom, I'm wondering, because, you know, you're right, this wasn't a big story, and it happened over a holiday. So, you know, but, you know, how many times have other small towns and suburban communities had an experience like this where the person behind the wheel who just crashed into mm-hmm. somebody's yard or house was stoned, was high on drugs, was high on opioids or heroin? I don't know, but I think that's playing out throughout the state, and slowly, slowly, we're going to lose our patience with the addicts, and we're going to say, listen, you got to meet us halfway on this stuff, you know, and I don't know if we go to tough love or whatever that means these days after that, but you can't have people shooting up heroin and driving through residential streets.
No, without a doubt. What's been the reaction to the column?
Most people have so far have agreed with me, but I know that I will get calls from families, from parents,
oh, boy.
And I happily take their calls.
Yeah,
you know, and they will tell me, and they will break down in tears on the phone, telling me about their son. And see, there's the person I have real compassion for, not just like Jim and Mary Albright, but the families of these addicts, the hell that their mothers, their fathers, their friends, their siblings are put through. You know, because they don't know where they are at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they just have that bad feeling that they're out getting high. You know, and what phone, when the phone rings, you know, at 11 o'clock at night or midnight or 1 a.m., is it the police? I mean, that heart-sinking mm-hmm. feeling that's been described to me by these families. They're the people I have compassion for. And really, the addicts have to step up, especially the young men. They have to step up, and they have to conquer this vice and stop causing so much pain, and not only, you know, in their own families, but the potential destruction they're going to cause in their own communities.
Absolutely. It is another brilliant. It is so good to have you back. I say that selfishly for talk radio for myself. But, J.D., it is a very, very thoughtful piece. And wish you had put that thing in about Wolf, maybe in another column. It'll be interesting to see how people react.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right. J.D. Moane back with us here on Talk Radio 1210 on the Spring Dance Hot Tubs Hotline.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.